Welcome to our lectionary lunch. My name is Reed Lessing. Greetings in the name of Christ from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, as we look at Isaiah chapter 12, 1 to 6. As many of you know, this is a hymn, and it comes at the end of Isaiah's first movement. If chapter 1 is an overview of the book and chapter 2, 1 to 4 would be the summary and goal of the book, then really from 2:6 through 11:16 would be the prophet's oracles of judgment and hope for both Judah and Israel. Beginning then in chapter 13, we go through Isaiah's oracles against the nations, which concludes with chapter 23. So that's where we're at in the book. And let's go ahead and get started. We notice that we begin with a masculine singular you, ve'amarta, and then that is going to change to a masculine plural you, second person with verse 4, ve'amartem. So the singular person praising and giving thanks then yields to a multiplicity of voices, which then concludes with verse 6 to one person then, a feminine singular you, Yoshevet Zion, the inhabitant of Zion. So there's a bit of movement here in the hymn. From masculine singular you to masculine plural you to feminine singular you. Okay, so, and you will say, Bayom Hahu, on that day. Now, what day are we talking about here? It's the day when Yahweh gives his people comfort, nakam, which is obviously the last word in verse 1. So any preaching or reflection upon this text needs to ask, what day is the day in which I will give thanks to Yahweh, right? Odaka Yahweh ki anafta vi. So what is this day? The day actually arrives in chapter 40. Nakamu, nakamu, ami, omar, Elohekim, where comfort, comfort, my people, says your God, where God explodes with comfort in chapters 40 to 55, the best 16 chapters in the Bible, where, for example, in chapter 51, verse 3, it says, for Yahweh, nekam Zion, ki nekam Yahweh Tzion, nekam kol korvoteha. Yahweh is comforting all her ruins. Looking again in chapter 52, we can see verse 9, 52:9, break forth, sing for joy together, the korbot Yerushalayim, the ruins of Zion, ki nekam Yahweh amo ga'al Yerushalayim. For Yahweh comforts his people, he restores Jerusalem, 52:9. So the day that chapter 12 is pointing toward is the day of restoration and the restoration program in chapters 40 to 55. And that's really a twofold program. Chapters 41 to 48 would be God's plan to stir Cyrus and get Israel out of Babylon, with chapter 40 being an overview of the unit. Then 49 to 54 would be Yahweh's plan to get Babylon out of Israel. And he's not going to use Cyrus for that. He's going to use the suffering servant, with chapter 55 functioning as an epilogue. So this would be the homiletical and literary goal of preaching from chapter 12, really pointing to God's promise to get people back in the land through Cyrus and get people reconciled with Yahweh through the suffering servant. Okay, so that's Bayom Hahu, and you will say on that day, I will give thanks to Yahweh, for he was angry with me. That certainly is a good summary of chapters 1 to 39. Yeshov apekah, and your anger will turn, uteh nakah meni, and you will comfort me. And of course, the comfort comes through Cyrus and the suffering servant. So why does Isaiah say, you will say on that day? Well, this is kind of part and parcel of Isaiah. He does the same thing, for example, in 25 verse 9. And he will say by Yom HaHu, behold, this is our God. We waited for him and he saved us. So why does Isaiah tell us what we'll say on that day when the day hasn't arrived yet? Well, it's so that we begin saying and singing and celebrating on this day as we await that day. We only have the promise. We don't have the fulfillment. And so we still celebrate now. Verse 2, behold, hine, el yeshuati, God is my Savior, ev tak, I trust, and I will not be afraid, velo ef kad. There's a lot to be afraid of. Assyria is on the march in chapters 2 through 11. Babylon is certainly a major player already in chapter 13 and specifically in chapter 39 and following. So there's a lot to be afraid of. But Isaiah says, I'll trust. I'll trust in God's comfort. Which has a restoration program. Ki ozi vezim rat ya Yahweh vayehi li lishua. And this is a pivotal idea here. Ozi vezim rat ya vayehi li lishua. Those exact words come in Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. Exodus 15, verse 2. Isaiah adds Yahweh. Whereas Moses and Miriam in the Song of the Sea simply have Ozi Vezim Rad Yah Vayehi Li Lishua. So why is Isaiah quoting almost word for word from Exodus 15:2? That's because there is a new Exodus coming. and that is certainly one of the major ideas in Isaiah 40-55. A good section there would be 43, 16 through 21, where the new Exodus ideas explode. Yahweh's arm is an Exodus motif, and that certainly is part of the plan. You could read about his strong arm in 52:10, his tender arm in 53:1. This is pointing us to the new Exodus from Babylon, finally from sin and death, finally from the grave to life everlasting. This word Zimrat is an archaic form. It actually is not a construct form from the absolute Zimra, but it's Zimrat. It's archaic to go back to the Exodus 15:2 text. Verse 3 is we begin the masculine plurals, but that of course comes in speech in verse 4. So Usha avtem mayim be sason, and you will draw. Now we're the singular is now going to the plural. You will draw water in joy and from streams of salvation. Well, now, what does that have to do with the Exodus? Well, it has a lot to do with the Exodus. The Exodus is all about water, right? There's a water deliverance in Exodus chapter 14. And as people then are in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 17, Moses strikes the rock and water comes out of it for the people to drink. In the restoration program of Isaiah 40-55, water also is God's gift to the people. For example, you could look at 42:15, where God says in part, I will place rivers for the islands. And then again, in terms of water, you could look at chapter 48, verse 21. They will not thirst. He will lead them in ruins. Water from the rock will guzzle for them, and he will split a rock, and water will flow forth. That's 48:21. So if there's a new Exodus in 12:2, then there is certainly water involved. And obviously, we are not that far away from baptismal Exodus motifs and baptismal water. And all of this comes to fruition because water finally gushed forth from the rock, right? And that would be John chapter 19 with the Roman spear thrust, and there was a sudden flow of blood and water. So that certainly could be a major preaching point right there. Water in the first Exodus, water in the Isaianic Exodus from Babylon, water spilling forth from our Savior, and all this floods our baptismal font. Verse 4, and you will say by Yom Hanatu, it's the same day. Now, it's definitely plural. Give thanks to Yahweh, Hodu le Yahweh, Kir'u Vishmo, call upon his name, Hodiyu Ba'amayim. So make known among the peoples, Ali Lo Tav, his works, his deeds. So it's not only that he's comforted me, verse 1, but now he's wanting us, certainly, to make this known among the nations. So this is a major connection with his oracles against nations in chapters 13 to 23. His kiru ki nisgav shamo. And here we have make his remembrance known. Probably this another hifil imperative for nisgav shamo. For his name is exalted. This is a major idea in chapter 2, verses 6 through 21, his great Yom Yahweh speech, where we have twice in chapter 2 of Isaiah 11 and 17, Venisgav Yahweh Lebedo Bayom Hahu. On that day, Yahweh alone will be exalted. So Yahweh's exalted over the nations, back to 12, verse 4. He's exalted over the ships of Tarshish and the cedars of Lebanon and the oaks of Bashan and every stately vessel. And these would be words from chapter 2 of Isaiah. So he is exalted. His name is exalted. He's holy, 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 finally, right? The super superlative of 6:3. So the congregation, the plural you, is invited to let the nations know that they're not exalted. Babylon, chapter 13, isn't exalted. Moab, certainly chapters 15 and 16 aren't exalted. The Babylonian king of chapter 14 thinks he's exalted. He'll make himself like the Most High, but he goes down to Sheol. Tyre and Sidon in chapter 23 think they're exalted, the most honored of all the earth, 23:9, but they're not as high as Yahweh. Verse 5. Zamaru Yahweh ki ge'ut asa. So make a melodious sound of music to Yahweh because he has done something that is majestic, ge'ut. And then we have a hafal participle, as we would go with the kere, what is to be read on the margin, not the kathiv. This being made known, b'kol ha'aretz. Of course, b'kol ha'aretz. That's the goal, that all nations would stream to Zion, chapter 2, 1 through 4. So this is being made known, hafal participle of yadah. This, that is the restoration plan of chapters 4 to 55 in all the earth. And so now we go back to the singular, Yoshevet Zion, the inhabitant of Zion. Tza'ali, so there's a call imperative, feminine singular. And this means cry out, va'roni, and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, ki gadol bekir beik, for great is in your midst, in the midst of Zion, Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. One of Isaiah's favorite epitaphs, right, for Yahweh. Coming 19 times in the book. And he's in Zion's midst, which means he's going to accomplish this new Exodus. Well, there you have it, a beautiful hymn that we are invited to start singing now during Lent, because the Exodus is coming, Christ's Exodus. He talks about that in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, when he's on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. So even during the dark days of Lent, the church still sings for joy because God's comfort is coming through Cyrus, but most importantly through the suffering servant. Thank you for joining us, and God's richest blessings as you proclaim this great word of Isaiah to the people of God.